The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good speech.
Nice and short.
Leaves more time for drinking.
Break out the ale! These men are thirsty!
It's the Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for the Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Here, here, drink up. We'll never finish the other three.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time. Everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask, that's us. That's what we're here for. And, of course, we have a lovely, lovely show in store for you today. And I noticed, Kent, my halo is back.
Your halo is going to stay there.
I'm so excited.
Enjoy it now.
I do. I feel like I'm in the spotlight. I finally feel like this is my show and I'm the star and it's not just you.
It might be the only one you ever get, so enjoy it.
You're very, very funny. Hey, the good news, listeners, today I have help abusing Kent. Yes, I know. It's going to be heartbreaking for all of you to know you just don't get me today. But we have actually snagged and bagged our own winemaker. Yes, sitting in the show, we have Fenton Dufresne. He is the winemaker for Chamisal, and he is going to be with us for the next hour to answer our questions so that we can torment him about everything that happens at Chamisal and all those questions I've wanted to ask someone but been afraid to. Fenton, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Thanks for having me.
It is going to be a joy. And see, all you ladies out there, you aren't seeing what I'm seeing. Anytime you get one of those great New Zealand, Australian accents, just imagine what goes behind it. So it's always a very good thing. Well, Fenton, this is the part of the show where usually I do my wine recommendations. I talk about what my favorite wines are. And in case you didn't guess when we did the opening segment, I am a Chardonnay queen. I absolutely adore Chardonnay. I can drink whatever I want to. I tend to drink the white stuff. But this week, I'm going to let Fenton talk about my wine recommendations, because the first one last night, I have had the wine and I had tasted the wine. I forgot how much I absolutely love the wine. The white wine recommendation for this week is the Chamisal Estate Chardonnay. And Fenn, will you tell us about the Chamisal Estate Chardonnay?
Well, we're blessed with one of the older Chardonnay vineyards in California, planted in 1973. We're about 6 miles from the ocean, so we have an incredibly long growing season. And it produces a really lush, mineral-driven, beautifully tropical Chardonnay, which is really, I think, what the Central Coast is known for in terms of Chardonnay. It's a lot of nice tropical fruit, none of this wussy citrus. It's a lot of pineapple, a lot of papaya and passion fruit flavors going on, and a nice backbone of oak. This is a barrel-fermented Chardonnay, so some nice aromatic oak, and just a really nice balanced wine.
It is a good balanced wine, and what was really, really neat about it, I think, is I got a little bit of nutmeg off it. I was tormenting one of my good friends. To me, it tasted, you get a little nuttiness, you get a little smoke, it feels like you ought to be sitting by a campfire, a nice warm fuzzy on, football on. This is the wine that's going to get me through the rest of the summer and to a break in the 100-degree heat. So for those of you out shopping, yes, Chamisal Estate Chardonnay. Now, for the reds, once again, I realize with the recent temperatures, I've been sticking to whites, but having had the Khalifa Pinot Noir from Chamisal last night, I think this will change your mind. Even non-Pinot Noir drinkers have to have this wine. For those of you out there who like to do blind tastings and like to screw with your friends, this is the wine to do it. So, Fenn, tell us about the Khalifa Pinot.
Well, first of all, Khalifa is a Modoc Indian term meaning the prettiest one. So,
He's talking about me, kid.
Yeah, there you
See,
go,
look,
Laura.
I'm getting compliments.
I don't think so, Laura, but go ahead.
Thank you.
So when a Modoc chief would take a bride, her title would become Khalifa, meaning the prettiest one. Even if she wasn't necessarily the prettiest one, I guess it's the perks of marrying the chief.
No one's going to argue with you, that's for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. So that's what we term our reserve tier of wines as Khalifa. So it's the best of the best, and I'm glad you like the Pinot. In the Edna Valley, we produce very dark, structured, concentrated, dense Pinot Noirs. If you don't know the appellation, we're in a valley that ends at the ocean. So the winery is 6 miles from the ocean, and that gives us an incredibly long growing season, cool temperatures, cool nights. We are I think if you're going to liken us to another appellation, San Lucia Highlands would be one that comes to mind. Very, very similar style of Pinot Noir. And we believe that our Khalifa Pinot may be the darkest Pinot ever produced on the planet.
There we go. That's quite an assertion right there.
Yep.
Having seen it and held it next to a glass of Syrah and a glass of Cabernet last night, I can't say I'd argue with you too much on that one.
It was one out of the box. It was a combination of the vintage, our you know, some of the newer clones that we have planted, and our growing season is just very long. 2007 was a great growing season. Very consistent temperatures led to incredible maturity in the fruit.
Well, Kent, I was going to say this Pinot sounded just like you. It was dark and dense, but then Fenton said it was actually mature, and that just threw you out the window.
Fenton, do you see what I have to put up with week after week after week?
He loves it. He comes back for it all the time. But in all sincerity, listeners, this Pinot Noir, it is not this feminine little delicate thing that you have to worry about falling apart or not holding up. As we get toward the end of summer and we start throwing big ribs and we throw whole pigs and big parts of cows on the grill, this wine will absolutely knock your socks off. Be warned, do not wear white around this wine. Mm-hmm. I have learned firsthand after last night, do not wear light colors and open a bottle of this Pinot. You're going to be, well, pretty much shopping for a new wardrobe by the time it's done. So those are our wine recommendations, and now that I have all of your curiosity piqued, yes, Mr. Fenton Dufresne, the winemaker for Chamisal, is joining us in studio all day. He's going to go over winemaking questions. He's going to go over what's happening in Santa Barbara. But real briefly, since we've done the wine recommendations, let's go ahead and talk about Chamisal. What is Chamisal? Tell us the short version, and we'll get into the long version later in the show.
So Chamisal Vineyard is 82 acres. It was the first vineyard planted in the Edna Valley in 1973. And the name comes from the chamise plant, which is actually a bit of a weed. I didn't know what it was until someone pointed it out to me. It grows prolifically all around the winery, and it's a struggle to control it, actually.
So your wine's named for a weed,
basically.
I already like the approach to it.
Yeah, well, you know, it could be a pretty looking weed. It has nice white flowers. But I guess, you know, the way they classify a weed is any sort of non-commercial nuisance plant. So
non-commercial nuisance plant. So anything, once again, seeing some similarities.
Yeah, there you go. So anything in the vineyard that's not supposed to be there is essentially a weed, and that's one of them. So Chamisal is named after a weed. You know, we have a great vineyard. We have a combination of volcanic and calcareous soils, which is pretty unique. You don't find that combination many places in the world.
You would know.
Yeah.
And you definitely would know. Listeners, we'll get into this. If Finn gets too much on dirt and stuff like that, it's because of his background that we'll get to at the first of the segment. So I promise you, I won't let him talk about dirt all the way through the show, but it'll be a task.
I prefer to talk about rocks, not dirt.
Rocks, I apologize. Once again, rocks in the head. We're seeing similarities. Finn's going to stay here forever, Kent.
We have a little alarm that goes off if you talk about dirt too much.
Yeah. but fair enough, looking at that. I find it fascinating. Once again, I can't let the weed thing go because, of course, some of your neighbors down in that part of California, Edna Valley, down around, Santa Barbara, pride themselves on putting all the beautiful flowers on their label. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, you just went up on my estimation. I see these labels and I see them on the shelf and I think, my God, who spends all this time to take the time to find some cute little flower, draw it, stick it on a label? I like the idea. Hey, let's find a weed that annoys us, slap it on the label and move on.
Yep. There you go.
So you are in Edna Valley. You are mm-hmm. in. Tell us a little bit about the region. Tell us just a little bit how it applies to Chamisal.
Well, so Edna Valley is a lesser known wine region because it's quite small. There's about 1,300 acres planted in the Appalachian, and we are sandwiched between Santa Barbara County to the south and Paso Robles to the north. So we're a little north of Sideways Country, about an hour and a half drive north of Santa Barbara, and about 3 hours drive south of San Francisco.
Well, it's a great place to be. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, we're going to hear a whole lot more about Finn and Chamisal, but right now we're going to take a small break. But we encourage you, hang on, think of your questions, and if you think of one right now, call us 877-4-CRUSH-1.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to pack the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
You belong to the gang, and you say you can't break away, but I'm here with my hands on my heart.
You're listening to The Wine Crush, and today it is not just me alone in the studio. Yes, I have recruited help. I have Fenton Dufresne. He is the winemaker for Chamisal, and he is joining us today live in the studio, so I have someone new to torment. So, Finn, we were talking a little bit about Chamisal and where it is. It's a beautiful, beautiful part of the country. I didn't realize that Edna Valley was only 1,300 acres.
Yeah, it's pretty small. It's pretty small. It's a nice little community. We have about 22 wineries in the area. So we've got some good neighbors. I mean, Tally Winery is just to the south of us. John Albin has a great Rhone vineyard, which is actually our closest neighbor. Coupe has just bought and put in a vineyard across the road.
Love it.
Tolosa, Baileana. There's some great little wineries in that area.
There really are, and it's interesting because as we talk about Chamisol throughout the day, obviously Chardonnay, Pinot Noir are your primary focuses. But when you're looking down in that region, a couple of the wineries you just mentioned, they do a lot with Syrah, they do some stuff with Cabernet Franc. Why did you just pick Chardonnay and Pinot Noir? Or is there something where, is there great things in the future? We're going to play with something else.
Well, we do small amounts of Grenache, Pinot Gris, and Syrah in addition. But, you know, a winery, particularly now, really has to have a focus. And so we've refocused the brand towards Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. You know, as a winemaker, you got to remember it's you spend as much effort making a 200-case lot as you do making a 10,000-case lot. So if your attention is split to 20 or 30 different wines that you make, it's going to be really tough to do a good job in all of them.
Well, actually, I was going to save this for a different segment, but I'm going to go ahead and take this. Of course, here at the Wine Crush, it is all about you. We do want your emails. We do want your phone calls. For those of you who want to reach out, you can reach me directly at lauralawson@winecrush.com, or you can go to our website, winecrush.com, and put your question in there. Well, this is one I've been holding on to for a while. I have an email from Katie in Sacramento. Katie writes, "Why do winemakers make so many different Chardonnays? Shouldn't they focus their efforts on just one really, really good one? Why did they diversify? Why do some of these companies have up to 7 different Chardonnays?" Then this is a perfect question right up your alley. I mean, obviously, I love what Chamisol does, from the stainless to the estate to the Khalifa. But why are so many winemakers, you know, there's 3 in Napa that come to mind that make 16 different Chardonnays. Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, Chardonnay is the true winemaker's grape, and that you can do so many different things with it. You can sort of entice a realm of different flavors out of the same grape. You know, as you mentioned, we make a stainless or an unoaked style of Chardonnay. We do an estate Chardonnay, which has a blend of 7 clones, barrel fermented. We have our Khalifa, which is 3 clones, still barrel fermented, but very different sort of barrel we use. So it produces a whole different texture and style to the wine. I do a single clone Chardonnay. So, you know, it's, there's a lot of different things we can do in the winery. It's a pretty transparent grape in that, you know, it shows what you do to it quite well. And it's a very versatile grape.
So is this like seeing different sides of your personality, different moods for different days based on what you want to do to these different wines?
Yep. Exactly.
So maybe our answer to Katie is these guys who are making 16 and 17 different Chardonnays are schizophrenic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Perfect. Yep. Perfect. Well, Katie, I hope that answers your question. For the rest of you, please do follow up with us, winecrush.com or lauralawson@winecrush.com. All right, so that just happened to fall in very, very lovely. And no, I didn't plan that for a change. But we're talking about you being a winemaker. We're talking about the different wines that you focus on. Let's get down to the heart and soul of it. How did such a nice boy like you wind up being a winemaker?
You know, the wine industry is a bit of a black hole.
I hadn't noticed. No, not in the least.
It's once you're in it, it's really hard to get out. And my dad's a journalist in New Zealand, and one of the things he writes about is wine. So I grew up around a lot of wine. And my undergraduate degree is actually in geology, but I got out of that at the ripe old age of, you know, 20.
So whatever. You already had rocks in your head before you became a winemaker.
Yeah,
all
rocks
right.
In my head, definitely.
Sorry, Kent.
But I came out of that and didn't want to jet off to an oil rig straight away, which is essentially what you do with a geology degree. So I was looking around for other things to do, and there was some subtle pressure from my parents to study wine.
So Subtle pressure. I wonder if subtle at your house, same as subtle as mine. Do it or get out.
Yep. So, okay. Well, no, it was do it and get out.
Okay. I can relate to that as well.
We really want you to do this, but you have to pay for it all yourself.
Yep.
So I went in and studied postgraduate viticulture and enology at Lincoln University in New Zealand, which is one of the top wine schools in the Southern Hemisphere.
Okay.
And after that, worked for several years in New Zealand, first as a viticulturalist, because really understanding how the grapes grow and how a vineyard functions is of the utmost importance. And a lot of these winemakers who don't know about the vineyard, I don't know how they can make good wine, really. And then I came to the States for the first time in 2001, loved it, Then I went to Europe actually for a couple of years and worked as a geologist in the North Sea in North Africa. But the black hole caught me and I came back to the States in 2003. Been here ever since.
It sucked you in all over again.
Yep.
Yeah, I've been trying to get out of this hole for like 25 years, and it just we always laugh about it. It takes a certain kind of personality to be in the wine business. It doesn't matter what side you're on, but one thing you know, one, you're usually passionate, but two, you're a little bit insane. There's not a mid-ground between all that, and any of us who've been in the business for longer than 5 years, it's almost cookie cutter. You can pick out the personality types as you go through. So you obviously got your start in New Zealand, and something I want to investigate at the top of the next segment is, of course, the differences in winemaking between New Zealand and California and how those compare and contrast. But ultimately, you decided to settle in California. You're in Chamisal. Are you exactly where you want to be? Do you think you're at the perfect winemaking crux, being in Santa Barbara, being in California? Is this the end-all, be-all for you?
Not necessarily. Every winery produces a different experience. And I think the best winemakers are those who have worked in different places. You know, there's some very good winemakers who have worked for the same winery for, you know, 20 or 30 years. But I love the diversity of the wine industry. I love the diversity of the global wine industry. And that's one of the great things about the industry. It's very global. It's very easy to work in other parts of the world. And every region you work in teaches you something different. So I don't – saying – is this the best job is like asking someone what their favorite wine is. And yeah, they might have a favorite wine, but they probably like a lot of different wines for different reasons.
It takes diversity. So do you see yourself as a Michel Roland or a Philip Melko one day? Are you going to be a flying winemaker?
Probably not.
Okay.
You know, I don't think my ego is big enough.
There you go. It's definitely probably not, having met some of those guys. Well, of course, we've got to take a small break right here, but when we return, it is something I really want to investigate, the difference between winemaking in New Zealand and winemaking in California, and of course, talk a little bit more about Chamisal. But to our listeners, do reach out, 877-4CRUSH1, or email me directly, lauralawson@winecrush.com. Y'all hang on, and we will have more of Finn after this.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and Earthshare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Lawson, this is the Wine Crush, and today I am blessed with an in-studio guest. We have Finn Dufresne. He is the winemaker for Chamisal, and we are putting him through his paces, asking all kind of questions that we've all wanted to know. When we wrapped up the last segment, we had just touched on the fact that Finn had made wine in New Zealand, and now he was in California. Well, Finn, you know, obviously you read the press. New Zealand has to, you have to admit, it's come on the United States wine scene basically in the last 7-8 years. Yes, it's been around, but really to be a factor in what we're doing day in and day out. So having made wine in New Zealand and sold wine, and then coming to California and making wine and selling wine, is there one market difference? Is there something that really comes to mind between the two if you compare and contrast them?
You know, I think New Zealand and Australia are both the pinnacle of new world techniques. It's really where a lot of the techniques have been developed. The industry there is even newer than the industry in California. So that's why it's such a heavy emphasis on the new world techniques. And I think the U.S. is sort of the bridge between the old world and the new world. While it's still a new world wine growing region, there's a lot of old world emphasis on techniques and winemaking styles. So that's sort of a major difference. And I like to say that I came to California to teach Californians how to make wine.
I like that. You know, at some point, we all ought to get concerned that every time I talk to someone who has come someplace besides California, that everybody's coming here to teach us something. And after some things I've tasted, we definitely have a lot of lessons to learn. But obviously, you think about New Zealand, obviously Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, and now Pinot Noir, when you start looking at Barton Burrell, Marlborough, those regions. What one similarity do you see? Obviously, you have a cooler climate region when working at Chamisal, cold climate down in New Zealand. Has that helped you make better wine, you think?
Yeah, I definitely think that was a reason for my hiring at Chamisal. I had viticultural experience, cool climate experience, and as you said, you know, even though Chamisal is in a cooler area of California, it's nowhere near as cool as most regions in New Zealand. So that was, you know, a feather in my cap. it definitely helps to make better wine, because I think once you've made wine in some of those really challenging climates, you come to some of the sort of moderate climates in California, and it's quite easy.
It is. Actually, Finn and I were talking about a little bit earlier, bless his heart, all of us know what's going on around the country. It's over 100 degrees, and he is just so cool, and he has his long-sleeve shirt buttoned down. There's not a trace of sweat on him, and he is just thriving in this absolutely fantastic weather we're all having. So he was enjoying the heat with it. But you were mentioning there's a problem in California right now that we're having lack of heat out there.
Yeah, we think this may be the coolest vintage in recent history. In San Luis Obispo, we haven't had a day over 80 degrees this year so far. And that's pretty insane. I mean, normally summer for us is characterized by temperatures in the 80s, which is nice, and then several heat waves where we might get temperatures of over 100. We haven't had a single day of heat.
For our listeners, to actually let you have a shot at doing our remedial wine education for today, harvest generally would be starting in about 6 weeks, 5 weeks?
Harvest could be as early normally as the end of August.
So how far back is the lack of heat or the lack of heat spike going to put harvest this year?
At least 3 to 4 weeks, I would say. So I've heard some winemakers in some areas say 5 to 6 weeks.
What does that do to you, and what does that do to the wine?
It means that I don't get to celebrate Thanksgiving.
you're from New Zealand. What can Thanksgiving possibly mean to you besides Gewürztraminer and turkey?
Well, my wife's Californian, so it means something to the in-laws. It makes it tough because even though we haven't had a warm summer, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're not going to have frosts and rain in November. And once you get a frost and the vines lose its leaves, the vines shut down. There's no ripening occurring. All the grapes will do is shrivel at that point.
So we could actually see a point where if you don't start getting heat spikes and all of a sudden we get to the end of August, y'all have one cold snap that, oh my God. So have you started to panic yet?
No.
Okay.
No, because I'm from New Zealand.
Oh. At what point will you panic?
I'll panic when my Syrah's at, well, I don't have a lot of Syrah. I would panic if my Chardonnay was at 18 bricks in November.
There you go. For our listeners, 18 bricks roughly means, what, 9% sugar? Or 9% alcohol by the time you're said and done. Now, if that happens, what are you going to do?
Pick it. Yeah, you know, in California, we're not allowed to add sugar, so we can't add sugar. But we have techniques.
I have great techniques faith.
That shouldn't be talked about. But
yes. If we're really, really lucky, next time Finn comes to town, I'm going to bring a bottle of tequila in here. We're going to make him spill everything by the time it's said and done. But you know what? We're talking about the harvest and what's going on in California and the fact that you're looking at relatively low alcohol Chardonnays. Mm-hmm. Is that really a bad thing? When you look at what's coming through California right now, when you've got some Napa and Sonoma Chardonnays that are sitting up there at 15.5, 14.9, could it actually be the start of a great new trend to get something off those high alcohols?
Yes and no. You know, winemakers are never aiming for high alcohol. The high alcohol is a consequence of the very ripe flavors that everyone wants. And in order to get those very ripe flavors, we need to get the grapes very ripe. And that leads to high alcohol. We're not looking for 16% alcohol. We're looking for the flavors that come with that ripeness.
So I can't win. I love all the flavors. I love the great ripeness. I love everything. But when I wake up the next morning after having those 15% Chardonnays, I hate all of y'all with a passion.
Yeah.
So I get to have one or the other then.
Well, no. There's techniques called de-alking, removing the alcohol.
I'm sorry, what?
De-alking.
What is this crazy talk you're talking about? No.
It's common now in California to run wine through a machine and remove alcohol. Alcohol has lower density than most of the other compounds in wine.
Causes lower density, too, or causes density,
yeah,
period.
It's true, at least temporarily.
De-alking is kind of what you do on New Year's Day, Laura.
Try the third. Try the third. I don't usually remember the first or the second. But won't something like that change the structure of the wine or change the flavors? It can't be good for it. Wine's supposed to be this living creature. You don't want to centrifuge it to death.
Yeah, you would be amazed at what goes on in wineries.
See, you're not allowed to tease me like that. It's one of the rules sitting in these guest chairs. No teasing. All right, speaking of teasing, we're going to have to take a small break right here. But when we return, we will continue to put Finn on the hot seat, ask some great questions, find out a little bit more about Chamisol, and, of course, find out these special techniques one way or the other. More on this when we return.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, gold garage and pit passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes,
and soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and we have guest host Finn Dufresne, the winemaker for Chamisol, joining us. Well, of course, if you were listening to the last segment, you know that, of course, I have managed to focus in on my obsession. And, of course, we were talking about Chardonnays and high-alcohol Chardonnays. So I figure as long as I have him captive, and y'all are out there, and I'm in here, I'm going to continue on my Chardonnay questioning. One thing I am noticing right now, yes, the high alcohol's there, Finn, but it seems to be winemakers are falling into two camps. We find these people who are going out and making Chardonnays that literally are akin to taking a baseball bat or an oak tree limb and just using it as a swizzle stick or actually sitting there chewing on it like it's some kind of drumstick. That Chardonnay has gotten so overbearing that all you taste is oak. Now, obviously, I love your estate Chardonnay. It's not anywhere in that ballpark as far as the oak goes, but you're doing something that I think a lot of people are trending to. Tell our listeners about what a stainless Chardonnay is and what its advantages are.
Well, stainless Chardonnay is a concept that I brought with me from New Zealand and from making Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc, which is very sort of pure, crisp, fruit-driven wine that is unoaked. And there are a lot of unoaked Chardonnays out there, but but our stainless is different in that it doesn't see any malolactic fermentation. It's made in a very non-traditional style. We essentially just ferment it and bottle it. You know, there's no aging, there's no lees contact, there's no oak, there's no malolactic fermentation. And it really came about from tasting a Chardonnay in a blind tasting. It was an unoaked Chardonnay. And not being able to guess the varietal. And the reason for that was we're so used to tasting Chardonnay with oak and butter on it that once you strip those away, people have forgotten what Chardonnay tastes like.
I'm so happy to hear that you had that problem in a blind tasting.
Yeah.
It's not just me. No. I occasionally, hey, look, people, it's not just me that screws up. Everyone does. Okay, please continue.
So I figured that I needed to reacquaint people with what Chardonnay should taste like as the grape. And so our stainless Chardonnay is really designed to put the taste of the grape in your mouth, really. It's I don't want anything interrupting that sensation of tasting the grape or tasting the fruit.
But see, aren't a lot of winemakers scared to do that? I mean, because ultimately we were talking earlier about Katie's question, you know, so many different Chardonnays, so many different moods, so many different styles. Man, for a winemaker to step up and say, I'm going to do stainless, there's nothing left to hide behind. You can't manipulate the oak. You can't manipulate the different kinds of malolactic. You can't add any of the vanilla. I mean, isn't that kind of a ballsy move to do something like that?
Yeah, but I think the problem is again, coming back to what did I bring with me from New Zealand, what the differences are. I think it's winemaking techniques that are quite common in New Zealand but aren't very common in California. I'm quite happy to do it. I'm quite confident in it, and don't tell any other winemakers this, but it's an easy wine to make.
There you go. We actually lied. It's very, very difficult. And actually, for our listeners, if you want something that's great to chill down to about 55 degrees, the Chamoisal Stainless is outstanding. Pretty green label. Hey, look for the weed on the label. There we go. We can actually help you find it on the shelf. Well, you know, we talk about harvest. We've talked about Chardonnay and all the different stuff. Now, every winemaker that comes across, I've always got to ask this question too. You know, all of us in the wine business, we've had our bad days. We've had our crazy days. We've had days we look back on and think that really couldn't have happened. It must have been a bad dream. Every winemaker has that one harvest story or the one dumb consumer story. Tell me one that comes to mind that you just look at and think, oh, I cannot believe I lived through that. Or did this person actually just say that?
You know, I've been blessedly lucky with not having too many of those stories. I could tell a funny cat story. We have
all right. I can live with a funny cat story.
We have a couple of cats that live at the winery, and they're very good at keeping the winery free of mice, rats, gophers, voles, lizards, frogs, birds. Basically, if it moves and they can eat it, they eat it.
There you go.
So we have two cats at the winery, and I'm glad they have nine lives because they've lost a few of them. We fished one of our cats called Crash. Appropriate name.
Okay.
Out of fermenter 1 year.
Really?
Yep. We heard this, came in the morning, and we heard this meowing from a fermenter, and sure enough, he got curious, climbed up a ladder, jumped on top of the fermenter, and the fermenter cover slipped off, and he fell in the fermenter. Luckily, it wasn't a fermenting fermenter, because that produces CO2.
He would have been a gas cat, nine lives long gone.
And that would have been a slightly cattish fermenter. So he was okay, and then later that same harvest.
Yeah, hey, if you're really lucky, it was Sauvignon Blanc, and it's supposed to take like cat
exactly,
pee anyway.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm sorry, bad joke. Go ahead.
And so later that same harvest, our other cat called Burn, Crash and Burn.
Crash and Burn, all right.
I heard this, and we had some small fermenters of juice, Syrah juice there, and so what the hell was that? So I go and look at this fermenter, and there's just this pink splotch on the concrete next to it, and these pink paw prints running away from it, and so this curious cat had jumped up on the side of the fermenter and fallen in to a fermenter of Syrah. So I followed the pink paw prints. And sure enough, there's Burn sitting there, pink from the neck down, trying to lick the grape juice off. And I was thinking, that's a big job you've got there, cat.
Oh, it could have been worse. It could have already been fermented. You could have a drunk Burn wandering
around.
Yeah,
it's true. So the cats are a lot of fun.
Yeah, apparently they're very entertaining.
Yep.
Everyone needs those kind of stories, and it's always fun to get different people's perspectives on that. and also to go hand in hand with this, I got to ask the question because every great winemaker has one. What is the dog's name at Chamisal?
The dog is Mig.
All right, so we have Crash, Burn, and Mig.
Mig, M-E-G.
Meg, okay.
Mig, sorry, it's the accent.
Crash and Burn, and you went with Meg?
Well, Meg's a Boston Terrier, so okay. She's got to have an Irish name, right?
Makes sense. Now, does Meg like Crash and Burn, or is there...
She likes Crash, and she likes to chase Burn.
All right. So you have your own little zoo that you're in charge of.
Yep.
All helped along by the lovely weed. Mm-hmm. Well, as we slowly start to wrap things up, and obviously Chamisal is at the forefront of our minds, out of the wines you're making, what's your one baby? Which is your absolute favorite wine at Chamisal?
Well, they're all my babies, but I think Stainless is really the wine I have the most fun making. And you know, it's dear to my heart. It's a wine I enjoy making, enjoy drinking. It's very popular right now, which is great.
That's what we like to hear. All right. We're going to take a small break right here. When we return, we're going to wrap up all this great saga, talk a little about Finn. And of course, it would not be the Wine Crush if we didn't put him on the spot with that one last great question. So stay tuned and we'll see what fun answers we can come up with.
Term life insurance. It can be a powerful way to protect your assets and your family. You work hard to earn and save your money to build a nest egg for the future. Don't let it get wiped out because you didn't plan ahead. Take the time now and make a small investment in $500,000 or more in quality term life insurance. Call the Term Lifeline and let us shop the best companies to give you the lowest rates. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. Ask about some of our 10 and 20-year fixed rate plans with guaranteed rates. Call the Term Lifeline right now for your free insurance quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. You owe it to yourself to protect your family and your assets. Make term life insurance part of that plan. Call the Term Lifeline right now. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max. Z-Max added to your oil and your gas tank can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood, concrete, brick walls, trees, small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
This is the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and we are wrapping up today's show. We've had Finn Dufresne, the winemaker for Chamisal, on and guest hosting, and you have had a break from talking to me and to Kent all day, which is a lovely thing. Well, Fent, we've been blessed to have a lot of great winemakers on the show, and it's always fun to get to talk to one face-to-face. But we can joke about cats and talk about weeds and talk about everything else, but always winemakers, they have their own impression on this, so I've got to ask you, what one characteristic makes a great winemaker? Whether it's you, whether it's somebody else, whether it's someone you admire, what's that one characteristic that says, hey, this is someone different, this person's going to win?
I think you've got to have a passion for wine, first and foremost. But I think the problem that some winemakers have is they're too geeky about it, and they think too much about it. You can't forget that wine is supposed to be enjoyed, and that it's, you can't forget about the consumer, the end consumer who's going to enjoy that bottle of wine. It's not always going to be a wine geek. It's not always going to be someone who wants to think about that bottle. So you've got to make it understandable, enjoyable, pleasurable to drink. And you've got to be objective about it. You know, it's you can't be too subjective and try to make it too deep, I guess.
It makes sense. It's interesting. You fall in the same camp with Ed Sobraja, Dave Reddy from Murphy Good, Michael Keenan from Keenan, and of course Cameron from Donna Estates. This is their attitude all the way through. You can't take it too seriously. Yes, what you're doing is important. Yes, what you're doing has to reflect you. But if you sit down and you worry about the final details and make it perfect to you and the consumer loses it, there's absolutely no point. Mm-hmm. For our listeners, if they want to follow up on Chamisol, where can they find more information on your outstanding winery?
ChamisolVineyards.com. That's ChamisolVineyards.com.
And of course, for all of you loyal website people, the link will be on our website so you can find out more about Chamisol. And of course, Finn did mention some wines that I didn't know existed. So I'm sure that if you go on the website and go to direct shipping sales, that you can find some of these special, maybe the Grenache, maybe the Syrah. Maybe I heard a little Bernie say something about a Pinot Gris, which I'm sure I will be getting a bottle of shortly. All right. Well, we encourage all of you, check out that website. Check out the Wine Crash website. But most importantly, please go find yourself a bottle of Chamisol and take the words to heart. Do not take wine seriously. Drink it because you like it. Well, thank you for listening to The Crush today. As we wrap up, as always, we ask you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told. But most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there's truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.